To be here with you all, and to be sharing in Krishna consciousness, and well, some of you I've known for many years. I've known Uttanapa Prabhu and Mother Suniti since 1980, I think.
Hariba!
Yes. And the children since they were. Yes. And of course I've known His Grace Atri Rishi Prabhu many years. We did Govardhan Parikrama together, didn't we?
Ji Maharaj.
That was very nice.
Ji Maharaj, very nice.
That was really very nice. Yes, I remember that. It was perfect conditions. It was not too hot and not too cool. It was just right. Balanced to a degree. And we had a very beautiful day. So now, let me see. We will read... Well, I have an idea what to read because sometimes, at least, we go in terms of our festivals. We had Gaur Purnima. That was what? A month ago, 5 weeks ago. Then we had Ram Navami. That was the, 26th or 7th of March. Then Hanuman Jayanti was the 2nd, if I remember correctly, of April. Now we've just had Jagannath Rath Yatra. Next coming up is Lord Nrisingadev's appearance day.
Hariho!
On May the 2nd or 1st. First. They think it is the workers' day, but it is actually Lord Nrisingadev's appearance day. That is the real day. Therefore it is a national holiday. It should be. So we will read something to do with Lord Nrisingadev, because oftentimes what we like to do is sort of build up to these occasions in the days leading up to them by going through different aspects of the pastimes and lessons and so on. So let us read something from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. And let's see. We're gonna read from beginning with verse 1. But before that, the 52nd verse in the previous chapter, Lord Nrisingadev said a very special and extraordinary thing to Prahlad, which Prahlad then responds to in the verses, few verses we'll read. So let's just read what Lord Nrisingadev said. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prahlada Bhadram Bhadram Te Pritoham te surottama param rinishva imatam kamapuros myaham ninam. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. Interesting. The Lord is offering, directly offering benediction. You can ask for something. Anything. If you had that chance, what would you ask for? What would you ask for?
Give me the opportunity to serve.
Oh, well done. Serve Krishna and his devotees. That's the perfect answer. Others would say, give me BMW or something. So now, let us read just a few verses from the 10th chapter, which is Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, and it is demonstrating, showing certain characteristics of Prahlad which distinguish him as the best amongst exalted devotees. Exalted devotees are already very exalted, very, very special, but he is the best among exalted devotees. That is especially special. Sri Narada Uvacha Bhakti Yogasya Tatsarvam Antaraya Tayarbaka Manyamana Rishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha. The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisingadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. So I hope you got that, the idea. The Lord is offering benediction. You just ask, and it will be yours. Prahlad feels none. This is an impediment to what is of real value, what I consider to be of higher value. Sri Prahlad Uvacha Ma Mam Pralo Bayotpaya Saktam Kameshu Tairvarai Tatsanga Bito Nirvino Mumukshus Twam Upashrita. Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. And then there's a sequence of verses in which he is expressing the same idea in different ways. Let me read one of those. Aham tvatamas tvad bhaktas tvam cha swam yana pashraya nanyate havayor arto rajaseva kayor iva. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yajna Tatasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planets, and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Him. Sarva Dharman Parichajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, you must do this, and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. So, this is very interesting, isn't it? Most people, when they think of God, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, they think what is God's job? What is His duty? What is He there for? What am I there for in relation to Him? Well, I am here to enjoy. My job is to pray to God to give me things for my enjoyment. And what is God's business? His business is to fulfill my prayers. I do my job very well. I pray for lots of things. As they say, give me a house and a car and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Give us this day our daily bread. They're just different versions in different cultures. It adds up to the same thing. I do my job well. I'm praying for money, car, house, health, better job, so on and so forth. Now he must do his job. He must give me all those things. If he doesn't, then I will complain. I'm doing my job, he is not doing his. I will fire him. I will fire God and get another God and convert, perhaps. Yes, so this is foolishness, of course. But the real position is explained here. Srila Prabhupada explained so nicely in the purport that, and Prahlada, of course, is explaining, that what is our business? It is to serve. And what is the Lord's business? It is to be served. And we cannot turn it around or modify. As the Prabhupada says here, the real master commands, you must do this, and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Not that the master commands, do this, clean the floor, or do something. And the servant says, how much are you going to give me? And the master says, well, would 10 rands be enough? And the servant says, no, I want 20. Otherwise, I will not do it. And then the master has to fork out 20. Then the servant does it. This is not master-servant, is it? Prahlad and the Lord discuss this here in this chapter and in the writings of our acharyas. There are further elaborations or expansions on this conversation that the Lord said, you ask for something, I want you to ask for something. And the Lord, as we read, he said, no, thank you. You're my master, I'm your servant. Let us leave it at that. But the Lord then said, no, I want to give you something. So you please ask for something. And Prahlad said, well, thank you. You're very kind. But sincerely, honestly, I actually don't need anything. I just want to serve you. So please don't ask me to ask for something. And Lord Nrsingadev got a little, a little stronger. And he said, look, I am ordering you. You have to ask for something. And Prahlad then preached to the Lord. Normally we don't do this. But this is their rasa, their pastime. And Prahlad explained just what we said. Our relationship is master and servant. And if the master, in order to get the servant to serve, if the master has to give something, he is not really the master. He's not really a master as such. And if the servant, in order to get him to serve, you must give him something, then he is not really a servant. But they are businessmen. The Sanskrit term used is vanik. Vanik. Businessmen. They're both just businessmen. And they make a deal. I will give you so much money. No, 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 you must give more. All right, I'll give a little more. No, that's not enough. All right, I'll give a little more. And in this way they negotiate and they come to a settlement. All right. Then the servant gets into action. But if halfway through he bumps into, things become more complicated than he expected, then he goes on strike. And then he wants more money, otherwise he won't finish it. He will down tools. There's a famous saying in British trade unions. Down tools means we are going on strike, labor union. Yeah, so it's just business, that's all. They're just wheeling and dealing. How to get you to do something, the master is thinking. And the servant is thinking, how much will I get out of you for doing something? This is not master and servant. So Prahlad told Lord Nrsingadev, our relationship is master and servant. I want it to be like that. I don't want our relationship to become contaminated by these business considerations. And Lord Nrsingadev said, thank you, Prahlad, for your wise words. But I still want to give you something, so you must ask. Just ask. Prahlad became thoughtful. And you know what he asked for? What would you think? A new house in Westville. Why not Beverly Hills? Rolls Royce. 10 Rolls Royces. Billions of dollars. What did he ask for? Well, he asked. He said, my father, that was Hiranyakashipu, who was first class demon, Paka, demon. Prahlad said, my father, he was first class demon, and now he's dead. And when a person like that dies, they go to hell. One-way ticket. First class. To hell. And they get all the reactions of their terrible activities, and that's it. It's just a disaster. They reap the results of their sins. But Prahlad said, however, my request to you, my Lord, is please save my father from going to hell. You wanted me to ask for something? That's it. So therefore, Prahlad is called, described as Paraduka Duki. That he never felt duk, sadness, distress. He never felt duk. But when he saw other people were suffering, then he felt sad. Otherwise for himself, his father, Hiranyakashipu, was abusing him in so many ways and trying to kill him in so many ways, very brutally and viciously. But Prahlad never thought, oh, this is terrible, wait till I grow up, I'll get back on him. No. Prahlad never thought like that. He accepted that, and he didn't complain. And as a result, he was protected by the Lord. But he was always feeling compassionate, like, poor, stupid father. What's going to become of him? So finally it happened, he was killed. And now he's on his way to hell. And Prahlad is feeling, oh, what a terrible shame. We must do something to try and help. So he prayed like that. Please save my father from going to hell. And Lord Nrisingadev responded that, don't worry. He's already liberated. Even though he was such a big demon. But because you are a pure devotee, and because he is in your family, he's already liberated just by being in the same family as you. And then Lord Nrisingadev said, not only him, but 21 generations of your family in the past, they're already liberated just because you're a pure devotee and they have this type of connection through the family. And not only that, but 21 generations of your family to come in the future. They have not even been born in the family yet. They're also liberated. This is very amazing. Very amazing. And just see the character of Prahlad. All he wants to do is serve as, what is your good name? Bhim. Mr. Bhim. As he so nicely said. All we want to do is serve Krishna. Not just serve, just, you know, in an abstract sense. But serve the Lord and serve the Lord's devotees and the mission of the Lord and help other people get the mercy of the Lord. This is the context of serving in Krishna consciousness. And that's all Prahlad wanted to do. Because he knew different reasons. He knew it's the right thing to do. First reason. It's the right thing to do. Why ask for some material thing, then I have it, what am I going to do with it? Then it becomes a liability. Like, I remember when I first went to India, when I first went to India, Bharat, 76, and we would visit some of the shops in different places, particularly Vrindavan. We visited a few shops, and some places we would go to buy something, and the shopkeeper would refuse to sell us that thing, even though it was sitting there. And we would ask him why. And he said, because I am being monitored by the sort of tax police. I'm being monitored. And The tax laws in India at that time were so, what would you say, imaginative, creative, that if your income, if you had income from enough sources, then every time there was another source, an extra percentage was added on to your tax. And eventually you could come to the point of being taxed more than 100%. Yeah. And, you know, this is really creative government. We should tell Mr. Manuel. So they would not want to earn too much because it was all being monitored. Like the police were coming on a daily basis and checking them. And it was all being monitored. And if they made more than a certain amount, they go into another tax bracket for the whole amount. And then they would start losing money. Anyway, perhaps that's a diversion. But all we want to do is serve. Well, the point is that even money can become a liability. We go to Russia. You are only allowed to take a certain amount out of the country, otherwise they confiscate it. And then they confiscate everything. So it reaches a certain point and we start refusing the people, please don't give any more money. We don't want money. So these things become liabilities. And Prahlad is thinking, you give me something, it'll just be a liability. I'll have to look after it. It will take time. It will be costly to look after it. It will be on my mind what to do. How is it? Don't give me anything. I just want to serve. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. Just to please the Lord. Somehow to please the Lord. And there's a very nice story about Hanuman. I think many of you will be familiar with that. In Bharat, in India, there are many deities of Hanuman all over, by the sides of the roads, many, many places, little shrines on the side of the road, sort of open little shrines, and temples, of course, actual temples. So many, and many of them, you see, Hanuman is orange or red, like this. And sometimes people wonder, why? We never saw red monkey, orange monkey. But there's one nice story from Ramayana in which this whole thing is explained, that Hanuman, after they all returned to Ayodhya, and now Lord Ram was reigning as king and Mother Sita was queen and everything was settled, basically, at least for the time being. Then Mother Sita, well, Hanuman saw Mother Sita with Sindhura in her parting. Means married woman. You know, parting in the middle, married woman with Sindhura. Parting on that side, something else we won't mention. Parting on that side, another thing else we won't mention. But parting in the middle with Sindhura, married woman. So there was Mother Sita like that, and Hanuman saw, and he had not seen before. That practice is apparently not there in the monkey community. So he asked her, what is this? What is this red? What happened? Are you all right? And Sita said, of course, this is Sindhura. I'm wearing it for Ram, for my husband. It's good for him. It means he'll have a long life and good health. This is what it means, incidentally. And Hanuman said, really? Long life, good health, because of the red. Oh, he became very thoughtful and pensive. meditated about this and he went off sort of thinking deeply. And then Lord Ram came where Sita was, and they were there, standing there talking, and a few minutes later, a red figure just appeared, bounced around the corner, red, all red, from head to toe, totally. And at first it was a shock. What is this? Who is this? And then they realized, oh, it's Hanuman. And Lord Ram asked Hanuman, Hanuman, what happened to you? What is this? Did you fall in the red? What happened to you? And Hanuman said, no, Sita wears a little bit in her parting, and she says it's very good for you. And you'll live a long life and have good health. So I really want you to live a long life and have really good health. So I didn't just put a little bit there. Oh, I put it all over. Because that's what I want. Everything for you. So Lord Ram said, thank you. But it's okay. You don't have to do that. Yeah. But at least we can appreciate Hanuman's mood. And incidentally, married ladies, yeah, this is what it means. If you wear it in your party, which should be in the middle of, according to Vedic culture, the married woman, then it means your husband will live a long life and have good health. If you don't wear it, well, maybe shorter life. Collect the insurance. No, we won't. No, you should just quit. But the thing is, this is his mood. He just wants to serve. He just wants to serve. Because he knows it's the right thing. And he knows it is the best thing. If I can just serve, I'll be happier if I can just render service. And if I get entangled with this and that and different possessions and big bank balance, then the tax man will come and the thieves may come and hold me up. If I have nothing, then obviously they won't do that. So this is very nice. So we can learn this from Prahlad. We can learn this. That he just wanted to serve. And when he was pressed and pressed and pressed that you must ask for something, then his mood of compassion came out. He asked for something for someone else. Some mercy for his father. Even though his father was a demon. Very materialistic. Srila Prabhupada talks about this. Comparing the two. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. That Hiranyakashipu was such a demon that he wanted to kill his son, Prahlad. Even though Prahlad was 5. And we all know 5 years old. It's just innocent little child. Just innocent little child. A 5-year-old child can do no harm. Really. Nothing to fear. But Hiranyakashipu was so envious and nasty that just because Prahlad was a devotee, he wanted to kill him. Prahlad never did anything against him. Prahlad was not thinking of doing anything like to harm him at all. Not at all. But just because he was a devotee, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him. But Prahlad, who is the devotee, even though his father, Hiranyakashipu, tried to kill him in so many ways, he didn't do anything against him. He didn't have a celebration after Hiranyakashipu died. A farewell party. No. When his father passed away, he prayed, please, may he be delivered from hell so he doesn't suffer too much. Just see the difference in character between the non-devotee and the pure devotee. So this is one of many lessons we can learn from the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva, from the character of Prahlad Maharaj. And of course the topmost emblem of service is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of service to Krishna. She's the embodiment. She is the pleasure potency. Her body is made of bhakti. She is made of bhakti. She is bhakti devi. She is devotion in person. She is Radharani, the queen of worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can learn from her how much Srimati Radharani is dedicated to pleasing Krishna. That when Krishna left Vrindavan, then Srimati Radharani was feeling so much separation, just drowning in a bottomless ocean of separation from Krishna. And it became intolerable. Just missing Krishna too much. That we all have experience of missing someone. We've all lost someone or been separated from someone perhaps a number of times. So we all know what it feels like to lose someone who's dear. But Srimati Radharani prays. Lord Chaitanya is speaking the words, but it is Radharani praying. Yugaitam nameshena chakshusha pravishaitam shunyaitam jagatsarvam govinda virahena me. Now I'm separated from you, Krishna. A moment, nimesh, a fraction of a second actually, feels like yuga, yugaitam. Prabhupada says 12 years or more, long, long time. Fraction of a second feels like that. We all know when we're doing something very nice, time flies. Suddenly it's over and we wonder what happened. What happened to the time? But because we are so absorbed and it was so nice, we didn't notice time. So we say that time flies. But when we're doing something and it's not so nice, then time seems to slow down. That's what Radharani is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying. When I'm separated from you, my Lord, then a fraction of a second seems like 12 years. Some of you will have heard this little story before, but I'll mention it again. On the first Janmashtami in ISKCON, in 1966 or 7, I forget, 6 or 7, the devotees had not, they were very new. And they had not experienced Janmashtami. In the morning Prabhupada said, we will fast. They had never fasted. So they just said, sure, we'll fast, fine. And it was fine until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Then they realized they were hungry. And when it was 6, it was definitely not fine. They were very hungry. And Prabhupada said around 6 or 7, he said, we will go into the temple room in 26 Second Avenue, New York. We will read the 10th canto, the pastimes of Krishna. So Prabhupada took them all in, locked the door, put the key in his pocket and recited the 10th canto in Sanskrit. And they were sitting there. And this one devotee who was there was telling us that he was watching the clock because they had to go till midnight. It was fast and everything goes till midnight from 6 or 7 o'clock. He was watching the clock. And he was watching the second hand. And he said the second hand was going tick and stopping And then after a while, after some time passed, this would go tick again. And then some more time would pass, and some more time, and after a while it would go tick again. And he swore that those 5 or 6 hours, it was like days. So when things get difficult, then it can be like that. It can be like that. So Srimati Radharani says that when I'm separated from you, a fraction of a second seems like years. So she was feeling acute separation. We have not felt that, quite honestly. And it became so extreme that at one point she thought, I must give up my life, because living is too painful. Death will be less painful. So I will commit suicide by jumping in the Yamuna, jumping off Govardhan Hill, or something of that sort. So she thought like that. And she was seriously going to do that. And she told some of her friends. But then one of the friends said, no, don't do that. Because if you do that, Krishna will hear that you have committed suicide. And Krishna will feel sad. Krishna will feel upset if he knows you have died. So you mustn't do that. So Srimati Radharani, when she heard that Krishna would feel bad, then immediately she felt, oh yes, I mustn't do that. I don't want Krishna to feel bad. I'll just go on tolerating. But we can't have that Krishna feel sad. So this is the mood. This is the topmost mood of the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. This is the mood of pure devotional service. That it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens to me. Let anything happen as Krishna wills. But I want to see Krishna happy. I want to see that Krishna is pleased. So this is the mood of the devotee. But Krishna, on the other hand, when Krishna sees that his devotee is feeling like that, then Krishna does not just sit there and think, very good, you are thinking in the right way, and just leave it at that. No, Krishna reciprocates. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would say, every step you take towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. So if we try our best to serve Krishna and please Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate and even inundate. Not to speak of reciprocate, but reciprocate many, many, many times more than what we are offering. This is Krishna. He is not ungrateful. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigramshaya payayad apyasadvi. Uddhava says in the 3rd canto, after Krishna has left this world, where will I find someone who can be my master and who will be merciful to me like Krishna now he's gone? And Krishna was so merciful that he gave the position of nurse to Putana, even though she was, he says, speaking very conservatively, he says, she was asadvi. She was not a sadhu. Sadhu means a saintly person. Sadvi means a saintly lady. But she was asadvi. She was not a saintly lady, Putana. Actually, she was a demon. Rakshasi. Great Rakshasi. So, but Krishna, Uddhava is saying, how will I find someone? Now Krishna is gone. How will I find someone who can be my master and be so kind to me like Krishna? He was so kind. He gave Putana the position of nurse in Goloka Vrindavan, in his personal entourage. In her previous life, Putana had been the daughter of Bali Maharaj. And when, and that's a long story, one of many long stories. But Bali Maharaj stole the universe from the demigods. Krishna took the form of Vamana to steal it back. He went there as a little boy, 5-year-old brahmachari, looking very sweet and saintly. And when the daughter of Bali Maharaj saw Vamana come in, Krishna as Vamana, as the sweet little boy, she thought, what a beautiful little boy. She was like some teenage or something like that, young girl. And some maternal feeling arose in her heart. And she thought, I wish I could have this child as my son. Motherly feeling. Then Vamana, Lord Vamana, stole the universe away. Took everything from Bali Maharaj. And Putana, as the daughter, feeling now upset, said, maybe I will have this child as my son, but if I do, I'll kill him. And in her next life she was born as Putana. And she went to kill Krishna. But as she was looking at him, lying there in the cradle, then she noticed, a little bit the idea came, what a beautiful little child. That motherly feeling from the previous life, little bit came to the surface, but then it was swept away by her demoniac mentality, and she tried to kill him. But Krishna killed her. But because she had that little motherly feeling, even though it was mixed up in so many very negative feelings, but Krishna was so merciful. He accepted that little good, overlooked the bad, gave her the position of nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. So when you go there to Goloka Vrindavan, Hare Krishna, we hope, then you may meet one of the nurses and she may come and say, I was Putana. Even, you know, all our vegetarian food we offer to Krishna, Krishna is so merciful. Srila Prabhupada said that potato, alu bini, the potato and the beans that you offer to Krishna, at least they will get human form of life in the next life. At least. And Prabhupada said they may go back to Goloka Vrindavan through being offered. So when you go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you may meet one devotee, may walk up to you and say, hey, you remember me? I was that potato that you ate in Atri Rishi's place on Friday the 13th. It was your lucky day. Yes, so Krishna is very kind. If we render service, we should render service without expectation of reward, simply for serving, as Mr. Bim so correctly and nicely said. And don't worry, don't even think that, you know, when is Krishna going to do something? Give me something. Now, he will. Don't worry. He will. Krishna becomes so attracted by the service of the devotees that he becomes purchased. He becomes purchased by the devotees. He becomes overwhelmed. seeing the devotees rendering service to him, and then he wants to reciprocate. And he becomes so overwhelmed sometimes. There's a very nice story Prabhupada tells in Nectar of Devotion, how Srimati Radharani, her mood of serving Krishna, he becomes so overwhelmed and astonished that she's serving me so nicely. How amazing! How she's doing everything for my pleasure. I can't believe it. Krishna becomes bewildered. And Prabhupada tells the story of how Krishna, oftentimes, when Radharani walks past, Krishna becomes influenced by her mood of service, which she is just radiating. That mood of wanting to please him so much. Krishna just becomes bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. And sometimes he does some funny, silly things. He trips over. Or he says the wrong thing. Or he drops something. Because he just becomes bewildered. Because her mood of service is so powerful. He doesn't know how to reciprocate. And Prabhupada told the story how one time Krishna was thinking, whenever Radharani walks by, I become bewildered, I drop something, I walk into the door, or, you know, I say something silly, my tongue gets twisted up, I get my mechts funneled, and then she and the gopis laugh at me. And Krishna thought, right, next time I will make a point of doing everything right. When Radharani walks by, I will do everything right. I will be super cool and she will not laugh at me and the other gopis also. So Krishna was milking the cows the next morning. And there he is milking the cows, and there he sees, here comes Radharani and some of her girlfriends. So Krishna quickly pulled himself together. And he started milking the cow like everything is fine. Nothing is wrong. No problem. I am completely together today. Milking, milking, milking. Yes, everything very good, very good, very good. And Radharani and the gopis walking by and they see, oh look, there's Krishna. And he is very organized today, milking the cow. He's not doing anything silly. And then suddenly they noticed, wait a minute, what is going on here? Look at that. And they all looked at each other and they were pointing, and Krishna's wondering, what are they pointing at? And then they just burst out laughing, roaring with laughter, because Krishna was milking a bull. And then Krishna noticed, oh, I did it again. So yes, Krishna relishes being served, and he relishes reciprocating. So we should just try and serve and not worry. When am I going to get something from Krishna? We shouldn't worry. He'll look after us. There's no doubt. And it is the best thing. So it is the best thing. It is right. It is the best thing. And we get the most. We will get the most happiness. Lord Krishna, when he returned to Goloka Vrindavan, after his pastimes here, he was considering his pastimes, what happened, how wonderful it was. And he was thinking, yes, the devotees were serving me, I was enjoying being served by them. But then he thought, even though I was enjoying being served by them, it seemed to me that they were getting more enjoyment from serving me than I was getting from being served by them. And Krishna thought about this very deeply. That yes, on so many occasions, I could see they were enjoying more than me by serving. And he thought and thought and thought. And then he realized, yes, Srimati Radharani, She was getting so much more pleasure than me. She was getting 10 million times more pleasure than me by serving me. So then Krishna thought, I want to be a devotee. I want to experience this. Why can't I? Then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. And he took the position of Radharani. He took the position of a devotee to experience that. So let us, following the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, Hanuman, Prahlad, let us just follow in their footsteps and try our best to serve. And try our best to serve purely, just with the motivation, the idea of pleasing, and try, if we get some idea, you know, what am I going to get, when am I going to get, is Krishna going to do something, try and keep those ideas out of our minds, and just try to see how to serve better. Like this, we'll progress in Krishna consciousness, and eventually we can, under the shelter of these great devotees, we can also come to the level of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for listening very patiently. Any comment or question from anyone? Yes, Adia.
It's accepted that Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna are spiritual beings. When you discuss the separation between Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, spirituality means that they exist forever. How did the concept of death come into Srimati Radharani's mind if she is eternal?
Yes. Well, you know, she is living in the leelas. She's living in the rasa. She's not living like philosophically. Yeah. And that is an expression of the philosophy. But so she's feeling that if I cannot have Krishna, then better if I die. She's not thinking that, well, you know, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that we're eternal. So I can't die. So I just have to just go on suffering. Oh, it's okay, it's too bad. No, she's living in the pastime. So she's feeling like that. She's feeling like that. Of course, not that she's ignorant. She's not ignorant. She knows all these things. And therefore, she, you know, when she appeared within Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Mahi Anya. So, via the person of Lord Chaitanya, she expressed the most profound understandings, philosophy. Like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they are manjaris. They are the little girls, preteen girls, who do the most intimate services for Radharani in her conjugal pastimes for Krishna. But when they appear with Lord Chaitanya, then Rupa Goswami is, he's great philosopher. So it's all there within them. But the thing is, they become absorbed in the pastimes and they start thinking in terms of the pastimes and not philosophically. And therefore, Mother Yashoda, if people say to her that your son is God, which is true, she says, what? What are you talking about? Look at him. He's not God. You know, there's, you may have seen in our Nandagram DVD, Dinabandhu Prabhu explains in Nandabaitak that a think it was Upananda. There was a big meeting of all the elders, adults. And Upananda, he called the meeting, he said, you know, I have a very important thing to announce. That, you know, Gaga Rishi, he came here. He said, Krishna is a great personality. Maybe a great yogi. Maybe a demigod. Maybe even Lord Narayan. So it is imperative that Mother Yashoda stop chasing him with sticks. She has to stop pulling his ears. She has to stop tying him with rope. He's a great personality. You can't do that to great personalities. Nanda Maharaj interrupted, wait a minute, wait a minute. Great personality, just hang on a minute. He said, look, you say he's a great personality, but